Okay, that was Best Coast. Those couple of tracks, and so I only got one more for you. Thanks for tuning in, and I'll see you next week at 3. This has been The Lab. Take care.
Just to start, we are WRCT Pittsburgh. We have a quick advisory warning before we go anywhere. Unfortunately, we do need to remind you, the views, thoughts, actions, daydreams, and opinions mentioned on this show are ours and ours alone, and do not represent WRCT as a whole. While Radio Readme might sell itself like a real news show, we promise to tell you nothing but lies, half-truths, and pure fiction. If you or any other listener think that at any point we've told the truth, I recommend you turn off the radio and send me, personally, an angry letter by snail mail, or carrier pigeon, depending on your choice. The views we provide are meant to be as silly and stupid as possible, and we wouldn't get up every morning if we couldn't provide that for you. Anything we want to add to that?
No, that was an absolutely gorgeous reading of it, and would you like to introduce yourself as well?
No, I actually wouldn't.
Okay, no worries, I can do so instead. Well, I'm John McKinsley. I'm the host of the Talko About It podcast, as well as the Radio Read Me.
And I currently hate him as much as humanly possible.
That's a very good introduction, thank you.
So, John McKinsley?
Yes, that is my name.
You host the Talko About It podcast?
I do host the Talko About It podcast. You know, the podcast where we famously eat tacos while talking about certain topics.
This sounds like a very bad, sketchy ripoff of The Hot Ones or literally every other food-based podcast.
Well, no, because we're special.
Why are you special?
Because it's me.
Are you really that special?
Oh, definitely. Think about it this way. If you can imagine the best possible host on the planet, that isn't me. That's probably Sean Evans from Hot Ones. However,
he's pretty good.
I am copying him.
And therefore, the guy from Between I'm second Two Ferns.
You have a good point there. Have you considered that I don't have any ferns in here?
Hold on. I need to confirm this by looking around. What's that over there?
That is a glass window.
You're right. I thought it was a fern for a second.
It's pretty close, but unfortunately not. And so I think that makes us two ferns worse than the guy from Two Ferns.
I think he's between the two ferns.
He's between the two ferns?
Do you think there's a fern on that side somewhere and on the other side as well?
Like 1.5. He's 1.5 ferns.
Well, what I'm saying is if we are between any number of ferns, I feel like that still counts.
I guess that's fair. I mean, what happens if we're between too many ferns? What if there's a fern forest on my left and a fern forest on my right?
I would be horrified, but I don't think that's true. I think that's you only true. Get one fern at a time.
That makes sense, actually. That's what my mother always used to say.
Exactly. Or you could have Russian nesting dolls of ferns. Ferns, more ferns, more ferns.
I think that's too many ferns. Frankly, you're starting to scare me. But anyways, how was your weekend?
I had done... Let's see, what have I done? Can I talk about that on air?
I can't talk about it on air. No, you definitely can.
No, I cannot. Okay.
Oh, come on, tell us.
I slept.
You slept?
Well, see, there were these bright flashing lights over my dormitory and a lot of screaming. And I just sort of assumed that the fire alarm had gone off again. It turned out it hadn't, but
okay, I see.
And I decided to go back to bed.
These lights didn't coincide with flipping a switch on the wall, did they?
No, not at all.
Are you sure?
Very much so.
And the screaming that just was in the background?
It really was, yes. I think somebody was really into it.
Oh,
like musically.
Do you think like the ambient noise helped you sleep at all? You know, white noise. All
yeah, yeah. I think that would qualify as white noise, but I'm not entirely sure who the person screaming was.
I see.
So I don't want to make that call yet.
So did you sleep through the entirety of your Saturday and Sunday?
Yes. I actually went to bed at Friday at 5 p.m. and woke up 15 minutes ago.
Oh, wow, that's deeply impressive.
Impressive?
Yes, unfortunately, I don't speak English. Deeply impressive. Well, if you'd like to hear about my weekend, although...
I wouldn't.
Knowing you, I was going to say, I highly doubt you
don't
do. Well,
care.
I'm going to tell you anyways.
Okay.
Well, as part
just
of...
just want to make sure, put it on the record, I did not consent to that. You telling me about your weekend.
Well, anyways, I was part of a bull run this weekend, and it was absolutely wonderful. I mean, you don't understand the joys of running with your friends through downtown while wearing a full bull costume. It is an absolutely great thing to do.
A full bull costume?
Yes. I mean, that's how bull runs work.
That's very interesting. So you were the bull?
Well, yes.
Were you chasing people?
Yes, of course. You know what a bull run is, right?
No, I don't actually. Would you mind explaining it to me?
Essentially, you have a bull, yes. Right, as one would assume, and you have a group of people, and those people are running away from the bull. Because, you know, the bull has horns, all that, very scary. Unfortunately, we don't get too many bulls in my area, at least. And so they
I would assume like, not.
They were trying to find a substitute, and I said, I can volunteer.
Where are you from, by the way, that you don't have many bulls?
Me.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Mauritius.
Mauritius. Why are there no bulls in Mauritius?
Islands tend to not have animals.
At
least those sort of animals. No, actually, if you think about every island you've ever considered, they have no animals. Just people.
Well, how do they eat food?
That's a very good question. I assume importing?
So are you telling me that if I wanted to have a steak in Mauritius, I'd have to import it?
Well, there is one exception, actually. Seychelles, the town of Swinton in Seychelles, actually does have crabs.
I see.
That's all they have, and from my understanding, it's the only island with any form of living beings, besides humans, that is.
So there are crabs. Tell me more about these Seychelles crabs.
Well, it's actually very interesting that you mentioned them, because there's been some recent developments with them. So it seems as if, as of recent, they've actually been seen building monuments about, let's say, 2 to 3 palm trees tall. And a lot of scientists have been theorizing that it is possible that they're building them for some form of worship. They're using sands and shells to sort of construct these really elaborate shapes. And
I see,
symbols.
I see.
I personally just like to think that they're building sandcastles. They're probably just having fun. But, you know, I think the locals have gone a little bit frightened by the idea of these crabs worshipping some other being.
What? I see. But here's my issue. Why are you worried about these crabs worshipping another being?
Well, I'm not. I absolutely love it. I think they're building sandcastles.
What are these sandcastles? They look like monuments, or do they? What do they look like?
I mean, don't all sandcastles really look like monuments? If you think about it, right?
No, I
mean,
I don't.
I personally, you've never gone to the beach, you know, seen a sandcastle with weird inscriptions on the sides, you know, possibly lights coming out of the sides, you know.
My sandcastles are very rarely electric.
Why is that?
I personally have a big fear of electronic technology.
I see. So you're more of like a bucket and shovel type. Of
absolutely.
Guy. I see.
In fact, to record this radio show, I'm actually speaking into a cup that is going through the wall.
That's
and there's
a very
another
long
cup,
string.
Cup, yes.
Yeah.
And that cup is coming out into the microphone.
It's very impressive, actually. Can I ask, obviously there's going to be another cup going somewhere. How is it that you convert the sound of your voice from one cup to another all of a sudden to broadcast?
I don't know.
It just happens?
I don't know.
It's brilliant.
You are asking someone who is not a physicist.
That's very fair. Do you know any physicists we could ask?
I do, but he's incredibly incompetent.
Understandable. It seems as if a lot of them are nowadays.
This one is particularly so. From what I can gather, he's consistently been bottom of his class in everything.
Oh, wow. That's literally bottom percentile. Is there a reason for it or just terrible what he does?
From what I can gather, I think the reason for it is that he just doesn't like physics very much, and he'd much rather be a business major.
A business major?
A business major.
A business major. Do you think he'd be happier?
No. No.
No.
No. I don't think he'd be happy for anything.
Okay. Well, I think, for one, physics is amazing, and I have absolutely no biases for that.
Are you a physicist?
Perhaps, actually. I would have to go check.
What will you be checking with?
My diploma.
Oh, okay. Well, once you check your diploma, please do get back to me, because I am very curious.
Well, I mean, I'll check, and I'll let you know maybe next time.
Okay. Okay. Sounds good.
Yeah, but anyways, going back to these crabs, because, like you were saying, I'm not afraid of them. I'm really not. They do not cause fear in me. In fact, they cause happiness. And
okay. When
I think about these crabs, I think that, you know, when we build monuments, we build them all the time, right? I mean, look at the Burj Khalifa or, you know, Hammerschlag Hall, two of some of the most impressive monuments possibly in the world.
Would you really classify the Burj Khalifa as impressive as Hammerschlag Hall?
Maybe I put it on the level of Doherty or maybe Ween.
Ah, man. Sorry, you got me thinking about Doherty and the new G level.
Of course, the G level.
There's been quite a bit coming out of that G level.
Tell me what's coming out of there.
Well, our glorious president, Leader for Life, whose name I cannot mention on air.
Of course, Leader for Life.
Has declared that there will be no further sounds coming from the Doherty G basement while he is in power.
That is quite saddening for me. I mean, I used to love studying just outside of the doors of Doherty G, specifically so that I had the ambient sounds.
See, that's what I thought as well, but then I realized it might be inconvenient on admitted students' tours.
That is true. I mean, I've always wondered what admitted students think when they get to Doherty G and they hear those sounds. I mean, I heard one admitted student categorize it as a catastrophic sound, as something that they've never heard before, just something
You've
awful.
Never been to Doherty G, have you?
No, I haven't.
Okay. Have you heard the tall tales and the rumors?
I have. Well, that's what I'm discussing.
Okay. As long as we're clear that you are not a trustworthy source.
No. Everything I say is either a lie or possibly somewhere close.
What would you qualify as close to a lie?
Wouldn't you like to know?
Yes, I would. That's why I'm asking.
Okay, I'll tell you then. No issues. What I would say somewhere close to a lie is when you say something that isn't the truth, but I can't call it a lie.
Give me an example.
So, for example, when I talk about how excited I am to have my co-host here, it's not exactly the truth. It's not close to the truth, even. But it's not a lie, you know?
So you are excited to have me here?
No, I didn't say that, because that would be telling the truth.
That might be the sweetest thing you've told me in our two sessions of radio show so far. Or in general.
I'll make sure to scale it back. I appreciate
you. All right, please
do.
I feel deeply uncomfortable that we're having these displays of affection on air.
Yeah, that's true. Next time, I'll just make sure to lie.
Anyway, so what were we talking about before you distracted me?
Well, we were talking about Doherty G and the sounds coming from it.
We were talking about Doherty G. Well, it's part of a larger epidemic on campus that I seem to have noticed. There's quite a bit of just strange happenings here.
That's true. I mean, every once in a while, I'll open up the newspaper and I'll just see some very, very strange things happening indeed. I mean, if you recall last week what happened with the homunculi and the feral Scotties, sometimes I do wonder, is this normal for a university?
I don't know. And personally, no part of me wants to know any more than just that it happens here. And it couldn't happen anywhere else.
That's true. You know what they say. There is no home like Carnegie Mellon University.
I think the phrase is there is no place like home.
Apologies. There is no place like Carnegie Mellon University.
I agree with that. So what have you seen on campus? What has been strange to you recently?
Well, let me think. As of recently, I haven't seen any homunculi recently, which I'm very happy about. I mean, you know, I told you how distressing they were.
I
have been seeing shadowy figures in my peripheral vision.
Really? What kind of shadowy figures?
It's hard to tell because they are in my peripheral vision, and honestly, my eyes aren't great.
I see. Do you think they're working for some sort of world government?
No, I think that's far too elaborate. They might just be TAs.
When you describe it that way, I do start realizing your point. Yes, I think these are just teaching assistants. But the question is, what are they teaching?
Yes, and why are they following me, especially past 8 p.m.?
Are you particularly bad at learning?
I mean, I have been known to be close to bottom of my class.
Really?
Yes.
And what do you study again?
Well, I couldn't disclose that.
Okay. As long as we have that much under control.
Well, of course we do. And speaking of those shadowy figures, I have noticed another thing about them, which I find quite strange. Have you ever had the experience where you see something and you turn around and suddenly it's gone?
Well, No, not often.
Not at all. Well, I keep having that experience with these shadowy figures. I see them in my peripheral vision as, obviously, it's a very, very friendly person. I want to turn around and say hi. And by the time I look back, they're just gone. And it does make me a little bit sad.
That's actually very interesting. From what I can gather, there seems to be quite a bit of activity around Carnegie Mellon involving our new developments in see-through vision.
Oh, really?
Yes, we can see through windows these days. We can, in fact, and one day we might be able to see through walls.
Wait, when was this invented?
I am not entirely sure.
So just to confirm, so you're saying that the current technology we have gives us the capability to look through glass windows?
I think the cutting edge of our current technology allows us to see through glass windows.
Including glass planes?
If there was a glass plane in front of me, I probably could see through it.
That's deeply impressive.
But this isn't really available to civilians right now.
It's readily available?
No, it's not.
It's not.
Why? It can't be available.
Is
there's
there
a lot of testing
some form of trial that I could join?
No, unfortunately. I hate to break it to you.
I see.
It was a very selective group. I only got in because I am a massive Nepo baby.
That is true. I was just thinking about the fact that you are actually the child of the absolutely famous billionaire from Mauritius. Would you like to talk more about that?
I'm the child of a famous billionaire from Mauritius?
Yes, I believe you were. You were talking about this just before you started. You were saying, I have so much money.
And wealth.
And wealth.
And power.
And yeah, you did
list
that.
All people love me.
You also listed that. And you had actually, your bodyguards, which are currently in the studio at the moment.
Yes.
When I had tried saying that I don't love you very much, they started to accost me.
Well, they were worried you were hurting my feelings, which, thank God you weren't, because I wouldn't want you to love me anyway.
I'm very glad, because it's not happening.
Give me a moment.
Okay.
Anyway, let's talk about my fame, my money, and my wealth.
Of course.
So I am the child of the richest person in Mauritius.
Yes, please don't forget the power as well.
Well, I was getting to that.
Okay, I'm sorry. I got ahead of myself.
You do get ahead of yourself quite often.
Apologies.
We're supposed to be pacing this out very often, but you're jumping from topic to topic. I have 4 pre-prepared topics about various things on Carnegie Mellon campus, but no, you want an opinion piece on my life as a Mauritian, son of a Mauritian billionaire?
Well, I'm far more interested in that, yes.
Oh. Well, you got to give the people what they want.
Yes, you do, as you should provide.
One of the most amazing things about being a billionaire is that I actually own most of Mauritius.
That's deeply impressive.
It's very fun.
How much is that?
95%.
In terms of land, do you know how big of an area that is?
I think about 14 square feet.
That's deeply impressive.
That is. It's incredibly amazing to own that much land. I can walk for almost 2 whole seconds before I have to turn around and walk across someone else's land.
Wow. I mean, that must just be the life. The idea of taking 2-second interval strolls across the beach, that must be wonderful.
You can't really enjoy life until you can look at all of the things you own and realize that it is so much, and it's so incredibly gratifying to feel that you own many things.
I see. And would you say that money has bought you happiness?
I think money is the most important thing to be happy.
I see. And is that simply being said because you pace back and forth in intervals?
Oh,
of 2 seconds,
no. I feel like you forgot. I'm very rich.
Yes.
I'm happy.
I see. And it's simply because of the richness.
Yes.
So do you get someone that you pay to do the pacing or
No. I do it myself. When you're wealthy, you can just pace whenever you want. Nobody can stop you.
Wow, that really is the life. I mean, my pacing is simply confined to Saturdays at 5:07 p.m.
That's it? I can't imagine living like that.
I can't either. It's why I'm trying to see if I can get 2 paces a week.
Can you do that? Do you have the resources?
One can dream.
Maybe if you save up for a while, maybe one day.
Maybe if I do half paces, I can eventually save it so that each time I have an additional half pace in the bank.
I have no idea what you mean by a half pace.
About 1 second of walking.
So you're going to spread it out a bit more, just do less pacing.
Exactly, yes. One could even say I might stand still for a little bit.
I feel like the poorers have such a different life than me. And by the poorers, I mean you.
It truly is different, and it's wonderful to have this insight into your life. But you had also spoken about something which piqued my interest. Not as much about your power and richness,
course, yes.
But you had mentioned that you had 4 pre-developed ideas currently.
I did, and that actually brings me to a topic I wanted to talk about in regards to pacing. A small monster has arrived on the dismount zones. Now, for those of you who don't know, Carnegie Mellon has decided there are specific areas you are not supposed to have any wheeled utilities. In fact, when I had my suitcase there, I was immediately accosted by several Carnegie Mellon students. Anyway, a small monster has arrived there and has begun eating cyclists.
I see. And is there any rhyme or reason to which cyclists are being eaten?
It seems the most colorful ones are getting eaten last.
I
think the monster assumes that more colorful cyclists have toxins and venoms inside of them and avoids eating them as opposed to the drab or gray cyclists.
I see. So would you recommend something like red bikes or blue bikes when going through
that
area?
Well, I think the bikes have been left mostly untouched, but if you are traveling through the dismount zones, please wear the brightest spandex colors you can. Otherwise, you may be in danger.
I see. Well, thank God I have a cupboard of 6 different green spandex suits.
Are they very bright colors?
Extremely bright. In
well,
fact,
then you're
neon.
Safe.
I'm very glad to hear that. But should we be worried for those who have already been eaten? Is there any process to recover them?
So from what I can gather, if you've already been eaten by the monster, you seem to show up sometime between last week and about 2 years ago.
I see. And is that an issue for admissions?
It has been. A couple of students were actually had to be readmitted because they were eaten and then went back to before they became a Carnegie Mellon student.
I see. And that seems absolutely frustrating. I mean, do credits transfer?
I'm not sure. Because if you take concepts of mathematics in the year of our Lord 2025, and then you go back to 2023, do you still get the credit for that?
That's true. I mean, what if you're in a class where the concepts have actually changed in the time that you've gone backwards in?
But then wouldn't you want to have the more up-to-date information?
Well, of course you wouldn't, so you'd be retaking things. But it seems frustrating.
It does seem frustrating. It's been a headache for the admissions office recently.
It does. And is this just happening to cyclists or people on electric scooters as well? Any form of...
Anything with a wheel on it.
Anything with a wheel on it. Okay, I see. That's very interesting. And do you think that aside from the possible venomous colors of these cyclists, there's something else inspiring this monster to eat anything with wheels on it?
I feel like this monster, well, you've heard that something is, for example, the greatest invention since sliced bread, or
of
the
course,
greatest invention
I say
since
that
the wheel.
At least twice a day.
I find that you have very few interesting phrases and you should probably expand, but
well, I mean,
that's neither here
do
nor
you not
there.
Love sliced bread?
No.
Oh, wow. Do you want to elaborate? I mean, that is deeply concerning.
No.
No, not at all.
I'm sorry. We have news to get to.
Apologies. Carry on.
So as I said, people have called the wheel the greatest thing since sliced bread. But I would always contest that and say the wheel is just a little, it's a fad, right? We'll all stop using the wheel eventually.
I see.
Sooner rather than later.
Do you think we're going to go to a square or something?
I think a triangle is actually the next big move.
Well, I would love to see that personally.
I've been trying to get my triangle bikes out into the world, but people don't let them.
Is it specifically because people don't like looking at them? Are they aesthetically ugly?
It's just the wheel cultists.
I see. And it's not the fact that you happen to be the person on that
bike. No,
it's
because, just the wheel cultists.
Because personally, if I saw you on a bike, regardless of the shape of the tires, I would be very scared and worried and probably not want you out on the street.
How much longer is this show?
At least 3 more hours.
Oh, Lord. Okay. Anyway, keep it inside. Keep it inside.
It's fine.
Men don't cry. Okay.
Anyways, I would like to move on to something that's deeply important to me.
Yes.
And something we discussed a little bit in one of our news segments last week. I would like to discuss the power of gemstones yet again.
Is it time for our favorite segment, Gemstones and Where You Should Buy Them?
Why, yes it is. And today I want to talk about the idea of rubies.
Rubies.
Specifically, Myanmar rubies.
There are rubies from Myanmar?
Rubies from Myanmar.
Okay.
Yes.
Tell me more about these.
So essentially, these rubies were specially mined in Myanmar, the country, and they have a brilliant, brilliant dazzle to them. And the reason why they're so amazing to me is that they allegedly have amazing properties. Do you want to hear about them?
If I answer yes or no, you're still going to tell me.
Correct. Well, one of the properties that I find just amazing is the fact that they seem to be able to change things into gold, similar to the old myths of Midas.
Yes.
It seems as if anything touched against these gems simply turns to gold. What do you feel about that?
Well, I feel that they are an incredibly interesting device. I personally got mine from a troll under the Panther Hollow Bridge at the University of Pittsburgh.
That's deeply impressive. I swear I ran into that troll just a few days ago, and I received 3 different riddles.
That's amazing. What were the riddles?
I don't speak Bulgarian, unfortunately, and the riddles were delivered in that way, and so it just wasn't making sense to me. I just ended up going to a
different
bridge.
You do realize he speaks English.
Does he?
Well, yeah, when I was getting the rubies, I told him, I have a goat. Can I have some of your rubies? And he gave me a ruby for a goat.
That's actually fascinating. I guess I maybe should have tried speaking English instead of broken Bulgarian.
Can you speak broken Bulgarian?
Not really.
Okay.
It was really just garble. I was just hoping that there'd be some response.
Are you a tourist by any chance?
I go to a different bridge.
Okay. Well, one important thing you have to remember as a tourist is that you have to just speak louder in the language that they don't understand.
I see. So would you say shouting would help?
That has always worked for me when I'm abroad.
I'm very glad to know. Next time I run into this cave troll, I'll make sure to absolutely scream my lungs out in absolutely foreign phrases that I do not understand.
I think that will get you everything you need.
I appreciate
it. So
that.
Back to these rubies.
Yes, you can
get them from the troll, who is no longer at Panther Hollow, I don't think.
Really? Well, I mean, when was it that you were at Panther Hollow?
Well, it's been a few weeks, and I think he moves around very often.
I see. Do you know where he might be next, or where else we might be able to chain wonderfully precious gemstones?
I don't know, but if you have a goat and you do find this troll, please call in and let us know. We'd love to be able to buy more rubies.
Speaking of goats, actually, have you heard about the most recent missing goat cases?
Yes, that's actually one of my topics.
Oh, I'd love to hear about what you had prepared then.
The Gates Hillman cluster goats are missing.
Really?
They haven't been seen in almost 2 weeks.
I love those goats. Do you remember Jerry the goat?
I don't remember Jerry the goat.
He's my favorite one of them.
Oh, rest in peace, Jerry. Well, we don't know Jerry.
Why would you say rest in peace?
Well, we've sent multiple exploratory groups after them. I think 15 students
15
have
students.
Been sent out so far into the woods behind gates looking for the goats.
And how many groups is that? How many different?
15.
That's 15 individual search
groups? Well, you know how they say there's safety in singles.
Yes.
Exactly.
It's the reason why I stay single.
That makes sense for you.
Yes.
Are you excited for Valentine's Day?
Absolutely not. I will be crying my heart out.
I look forward to seeing that.
I'm sure you do.
For those of you who are worried, don't worry. I will record it and then play it on air next week.
That's so sweet of you. It's truly going to be a memory that will forever be immortalized.
I hope you know that everything you've done will be around forever.
Well, when you say it like that, I'm so excited for forever to end.
Anyway, yes, there have been 15 different groups sent out to monitor for the Gates trolls, and none of them have returned so far.
I see. And out of
goats.
This, Yes, the ghosts. Yes. So the trolls were under the bridge.
All right, you know what? I'm trying my best here.
Okay, it doesn't seem like you are.
What more do you want from me?
Not much, to be honest. But anyway, speaking about these goats, is there any reason they might have disappeared? I mean, I know you seem to be jumping the gun in the idea that they could have passed away, but I can't imagine that that's the case. I mean, the goats that I knew that were part of that group, they were resilient. So can you, do you by any chance have any news or understanding of why they may have disappeared? Because this is
heartbreaking. Well, it seems that they were organizing a protest against the constant petting they were receiving.
I see. And was this a group of more than 24 goats?
This was not, luckily, a group of more than 24 goats.
I see, because that would have been a deeply worrying
statement.
Well,
if it was more than 24 goats, we would have known exactly who did it, because it would have been very important that the God Emperor of Carnegie Mellon prevent these kind of gatherings from happening.
May he ever live in power.
May he ever reign, yes.
Yes. But I am a little bit worried then. Do you think there's some new force on campus removing these goats?
I think they might have just wandered off on their own.
I see. I mean, when you say it like that, I don't feel the need to worry. I hope those 15 students are found soon. But honestly, as long as the goats are found, I'm happy.
That's one of my issues, is that I feel like we are being a little bit... We are taking a step back. Why aren't we taking an active role in looking for these goats?
Well, I mean... 15 students is a lot of students to go looking for a goat. Will one more student, aka me, help?
I mean, I feel like you have to remember that a journey of 1,000 steps starts with 999 steps.
But have you considered I'm sitting and very tired and do not want to start stepping?
How are you tired? You just woke up.
Well, unfortunately, I was watching the Super Bowl and it went up until about 3 or 4 in the morning.
The Super Bowl went up until 3 or 4 in the morning?
It did. Well, I mean, so the thing is, I turn on my TV and the Super Bowl was on, correct?
Yes.
And it was a wonderful match. Somebody won. I wasn't too sure who. The people in green, they seemed wonderful.
Yes.
And at the
people in green or yes. The people who were green?
No, they weren't green.
Okay.
I would be slightly concerned for their health if they were.
That would be
It's just the people who were wearing green. They seemed to have won. They were celebrating. It was wonderful. There was confetti, which I loved.
Careful. You're very dangerously telling the truth right now.
But listen.
Okay.
Let me start lying.
Okay.
And so what happens is that very often when I start watching something on TV, the way I know it ends is when my TV turns off.
Yes.
And so the longest period of time a TV show has ever lasted for me is about, I want to say 2.5 years, which
was... What TV show is that?
I don't remember its name, actually, surprisingly. I think it was an episode of House?
An episode of House MD, the hit TV show from 2007?
I believe so, yes, although I believe for me it was from 2007 to 2009.
Well, that must have been one very good episode.
No, it really wasn't. I really didn't enjoy it. And honestly, it was really worrying how long it went on for. I hope the actors are okay, because they also had to be in the studio for as long as I was watching.
You do realize they do those things in multiple takes, right?
So they had to be there even longer than
I was
there for?
Well, it could be that the actors were there for a week filming something, and they took a break, and then they came back a week later, and they kept filming.
Well, they were on my screen the entire time, so they didn't take any breaks.
So it's the magic of video editing. They could actually cut things out. For example, when I edit this to show other people, I cut out everything you say, so it's just me talking in the air.
That's really a relief to know about.
It really is.
Yeah. But anyways, I went to sleep very late because of the Super Bowl, because of that. My TV ended up going off at 4 a.m. and for some reason all my lights did as well.
Well, I feel like that's you can't have the lights on if you want to go to sleep.
Well, I just hadn't turned them off as all. They just sort of go that way sometimes.
I feel like your lights are telling you something.
Maybe. Should I start listening to them?
No.
Do they lie?
Yes.
Only lies?
I feel like I've never met a light that I would trust.
Really? I think standing lamps seem like good
that's
lights.
That's how they get you.
Really?
Because you see them and you look at a standing lamp and you say, well, you've been standing all day and all night and you just keep standing and
it's noble.
I would know it's noble.
Yes.
But they're just using it to prey on poor, innocent light bulbs.
Even the warm light that they exude?
The warm light is just an act.
This is tragic.
Underneath, it's all hard, cold LEDs.
Well, I'll make sure that I never turn on the light again.
You're 100% turning on the light when you get home.
Yes. Yes, I am.
Well, if you actually wanted to make a stand for something, today might have been the day.
Yet again, I'm sitting and tired.
Well, I really don't know how much to say to that.
Well, that's good to know that you have nothing to say, because it is absolutely a relief. Finally, I can speak. please don't interrupt. Anyways, one thing that I really wanted to talk about was our weather. For this segment, I want to discuss the weather that's currently happening outside in Pittsburgh. At the moment, I can't see outside, so I'll get back to you on that one.
Just to follow up, I also cannot see outside, but I can tell you for a fact that the weather is 87 degrees and perfectly balmy.
That sounds wonderful. I can't wait to leave the studio and not have to see you anymore.
I feel like there's some unresolved tension between the two of us.
Well, no, not at all. We're okay. Great co-hosts and have great energy together.
That makes sense. Anyway, back to the weather. Now is the kind of easy day to go outside in summer shorts and enjoy yourselves. Everyone knows that mid-February is the best time of year to be in Pittsburgh.
Well, that sounds like a great weather for swimming. And I've heard there's nowhere more lovely than the Schenley Lake.
There's a lake in Schenley?
There's a lake in Schenley.
I've never been.
It's just recently finished freezing over and has now melted over, where you can swim in a wonderful pond. I've even heard that there are ducks there sometimes.
Have you ever considered the fact that once you enter a lake, you are just making human soup?
Well, when you say it like that, I do love soup.
Do you think human and duck soup would be a good flavor?
Well, I don't really want to think about that, to be honest. But when you tell me it as a direct question, I feel the need to answer. I would say that it's probably a mediocre soup. I personally would put it up there with some form of tomato soup. But my favorite soup, personally, is matzo ball soup.
I see. Would you say that matzo ball soup is the human and duck soup of 2025?
Honestly, I think so.
No, could you say that?
No.
Please?
I don't think I have it in me.
I need it for the soundbite.
I can't, I'm sorry.
Can you say anything that I can use for the soundbite?
Not on air, unfortunately.
Disappointing. Well, continue onwards.
Yes, but as I was saying, another activity that I definitely...
You just skipped over the matzo ball soup.
Well, yes, I had already discussed the matzo ball soup. I was talking about another activity.
Continue.
I'm sorry, it's 87 Fahrenheit outside. I really want people to enjoy their days right now.
That is true, the weather is gorgeous.
And I would like to continue to recommend things that people can do right now.
Such as?
Well, one of the things that I like to do when it's nice and warm outside is make sure that my entirety of all my clothes are coated in aluminium.
I see.
And the reason why is because you have this bright look about you when you go outside. And part of it might be because you're obviously reflecting the sun and probably hurting people's eyes. But you look absolutely wonderful when you do that.
I feel like if I wore, I would have to wear it polished out and buffed out. Otherwise, it just wouldn't feel as good.
I see. Well, anyways, let's take a short break. And when we're coming back, maybe we can talk about 9 tips to spruce up your brutalist buildings this summer.
I love this. We will be back right after the break.
Hello and welcome back to Radio Readme. As we were saying just before the break, we would like to tell you about 9 different ways that you can spruce up your brutalist buildings and architecture for summer pizzazz. I personally think that there is nothing more wonderful than having a pizzazz this summer, and I think the first way to do that for your brutalist architecture buildings is adding a little bit of blush onto them. Personally, I think that oftentimes the gray walls of brutalist buildings need contrast, and nothing helps more than that than a little bit of pink on their cheeks.
I actually wanted to confirm this one. I have a brutalist building in my backyard. I've been watering it and growing it for the last 6 months, and it has been one of my prides and joys. But I realized that adding a little bit of rouge and a little bit of blush to it, giving it a bit of foundation to work with, made it honestly look so much better. I think my brutalist building is far stronger now than it was before.
I'm so happy to hear that, and that's our first step. I'm only going to give 2 because I lied about the 9, as usual.
I see.
But my second...
You lie about a lot of 9s, yes.
I do lie a lot about most of them. But my second tip, and the one I prefer the most for my brutalist architecture buildings, is put a little hat on them. Think about it this way. Hats and clothes represent who we are as people and as buildings. They give us a little bit of unique character, and what's more unique than having a little propeller hat on your brutalist architecture building, especially when it's windy and it spins around?
A little propeller hat?
Yes.
What if your brutalist building flies away?
Well, I'd be very worried because they do tend to be made out of concrete.
I mean, if there's a strong enough gust of wind and your propeller hat is designed well enough, they could.
That brings up the question then. If I put a propeller hat on Ween, could we possibly get it to leave?
Do you not like Ween?
I love Ween. It's my favorite building
on
campus.
Then why do you want it to leave?
Well, I've heard recently that students aren't fans of the building. I've heard that they think that the little jutting out part of the building is gross and disgusting and, in many people's words, absolutely horrific.
Really?
I don't feel that way. I love
it. I see.
It is almost like I've adopted it. It's like a secondary child for me, Ween.
Ween is a secondary child for you?
I'd say so, yes.
I feel like there is something wrong with platforming those kind of ideas on a radio show like this one.
Adopting a building?
No, I'm talking about how horrible that building looks. Ween could be listening.
In fact,
Ween, if you're out there, we do still love you.
We do love you, Ween. Keep on going.
That's a lot of talk coming from that guy, but trust me, I'm in your corner, Ween.
I swear I am as well.
Mm-hmm.
You seem to not think I'd like Ween.
Well, I'm not the one who brought up how much people hate Ween unprompted.
Well, you know, I was just trying to be a man of the people, you know, tell people about what's happening.
It didn't sound like that. It's like if I said, you know, what's your name again?
Me?
Yes.
John.
John. It's like if I said, John, do you know so many people I know, they hate you? They think you're a toxic person? They think you're bad? They think you should go away? What? They think you should stop talking to me?
Well, it does sound like you're just parodying the things you've been saying to me this entire time.
Yes, it does.
Do you believe those?
Absolutely.
Really?
Yes.
It means a lot.
I'm glad you know how much I dislike you.
I do, and I'm glad that we have that common understanding between us.
Anyway, so John, my name is also John. I don't know if I told you this yet.
Your name's also John.
Yes, it is. John Arbuckle.
Why didn't you tell me this? John Arbuckle.
Yes, much like the guy from the Garfield cat comic. However, I'm very different in the sense that I do not own a cat.
You don't own a cat? So did you name yourself specifically after the John Arbuckle?
No, I came first.
Okay, so did he name himself after you?
I think that I was actually the original John Arbuckle, and then the Garfield cat just sort of stole my identity.
That's actually deeply concerning. Have you considered that you can probably sue for that?
Well, see, I don't have a cat, and I feel like that's enough of a spin on my name that it's okay.
I see.
But if I were to get a cat, I would absolutely sue.
I see. And would you get an orange cat?
I would try to avoid it because I don't want to seem like too much of a follower. But I could get an orange cat if, I don't know, I was really bored.
I see. And you're not bored at the moment?
Well, currently I'm having the time of my life. I'm reading through this grand old newspaper, The Readme, and looking for the very important things that have been happening on campus.
Well, I do love The Readme. It's my favorite publication on campus. And I heard a rumor that there might be a new Readme coming out soon.
There might be, for Valentine's Day.
A Valentine's Day Readme?
If you're on campus or nearby to campus, come pick them up. They're sold wherever newspapers are sold for absolutely nothing.
Well, I have only one important question about this new Readme. Can I date it?
Well, why don't you read it and find out?
When you say it like that, I'll have to pick up one.
I also need to check Pennsylvania marriage laws really quickly.
That's very important, actually. I don't know if I can actually marry a piece of paper, but let's see. Okay.
One second.
I'm of the opinion that we should be allowed to marry pieces of paper.
Well, it seems like the Pennsylvania Legal Council does agree with you. You can marry a sheet of paper.
I am so relieved to hear that. I was very worried that the law would stop me from pursuing what I truly love.
I think what's important is to recognize that love is love, paper cuts and all.
I agree. No matter the hardships, no matter how much paper torn.
Yes. Well, we do want to switch now to another segment on campus life. Carnegie Mellon is beginning... That doesn't sound like a good sound.
No, that sounds... Is that you making that sound?
That might be me.
Is that you doing that with your mouth?
Yes,
it is. Wow, that's impressive. Wow. No, I'm here still. No worries. That was very impressive that you were able to make that sound with your mouth. I mean,
hello.
Personally, I can't make nearly as many sounds. I can just speak. And you seem to have a big problem with that already.
Yes, I'm so sorry. My microphone, I think, seems to have cut out for a little bit. Was that because of you?
It was. I really was hoping it would last a little bit longer.
I see.
It was nice to just hear my own voice instead of yours. Not from narcissism, but simply because I really don't want to listen to you anymore.
I see how that is. I understand. Well, anyway, to our next segment, fantastic houses and where to find them. Carnegie Mellon's opening up housing for the first time in almost a year.
Wow.
This is incredibly exciting news. We have, CMU has renovated three of its death trap buildings to be slightly less dangerous.
I did hear one of them did flood, though, the other day.
Well, a lot of them seem to keep flooding. I think it's a preventive measure to keep the fires out.
That's... actually genius. You know,
I know.
Truly are an advanced university.
Incredible developments coming out. If everything is wet, you can't set it on fire.
And I've even heard a rumor that they might be trying to implement this brand new idea of being able to see through glass into some of the buildings.
I would love to see that, because I think that some of these buildings, well, you can't really see into them. There's no lighting. You have to sort of light a candle, and then the fumes get to you.
Yeah, I mean, last time I went into the Donner Residence Hall, I went in there, it was pitch black, and as soon as I lit a match in order to, you know, obviously... See, there was a massive explosion, and apparently the reason why was because they just don't care.
From what I can gather, Carnegie Mellon's really putting in the effort this year. We have almost 14 new places for 7,000 students to live in.
14 new places. I've heard a rumor that they're actually going to have a total of 2 beds per place, and therefore 28 beds for these 7,000 students.
I think that for the first time, we might have double-digit students living in an on-campus dorm.
Oh, that would be lovely, because I remember the first time I was able to stay in a dorm, about 20 years into my first PhD, and it was... an absolutely amazing experience, and I just want more people to be able to have that.
Personally, I'm just glad that the dorm system works on a very normal schedule. For example, everyone rushes to get the dorms at the same time.
Yes, although I'd be remiss not to mention the crowd crush, which occurred many, many years ago.
Well, we don't want to talk about the crowd crush. What's really important is to know is that it hasn't happened since 1941.
That's true, and now we have amazing technology, like doors.
We do have doors. These apparently, if you keep using revolving doors... only one person can go through at a time, unless they're getting very handsy with each other and there are two people in the revolving door slot.
I've seen
that, but it looks very uncomfortable.
I did do it once. It was deeply uncomfortable.
Really?
It was, yes.
Who did you do it with?
I don't actually remember. It was just a random stranger.
Are you telling me you went through that experience? You went through a revolving door with someone and you forgot who they were?
I understand that it's meant to be a lifelong bonding
exercise. It's supposed to be. It's like how when wolves, they sort of hunt in packs together for their life. Or when dogs, I actually don't know what dogs do, but I feel like you get my point.
I think they bark or something.
That is probably true.
Yeah, they probably do that.
But you get my point.
I do get your point, I do understand that. I mean, have you ever just gone through a revolving door with someone and you haven't felt the chemistry there?
No. In fact, I think I married everyone I've gone through a revolving door with.
Wow.
I'm on my 14th wedding.
That's quite some commitment.
It is. Well, I mean, I don't know about you, but I'm not some sort of heartless person who can go through a revolving door and not feel something.
Well, you know, I'm just looking for that right revolving door person.
I mean, there are plenty of fish in the sea, but you seem to keep throwing all of them back.
Well, have you considered the fact that I really don't like fish? I'm actually slightly allergic.
Fine, there are plenty of fish in the... Wait.
Well, no, it's fish still.
There are plenty of...
The fish is the problem.
I know, I'm trying to find... There are plenty of... there's plenty of bread in the sea.
You know...
They're croutons.
Oh, I do love croutons.
Yeah.
Like soup croutons?
Well, I mean, think about it. When people are swimming in the sea, the earth is just one big soup.
That's true. And do you think anyone's ever swam in the sea with croutons in their pockets, accidentally dropped them out?
Oh,
and
I did could that possibly a few times.
Oh, maybe I could then find some
there
croutons
in the
sea.
There are some croutons on the Gulf of, is it America or Mexico now?
I just like to think it's the Gulf.
Somewhere near the Gulf, I dropped a few croutons. If you want to go find them, they are first come, first serve, and they are, get this, garlic flavored.
Oh my God, well I'm going to start swimming immediately if they're garlic flavored. You caught me on that.
I love garlic flavored croutons, and with a little seawater added in, it's amazing.
Well actually, I don't know if I'm going to be able to swim today. I have heard that the weather might be a little bit too warm and that the Gulf might have actually evaporated recently.
You know, if the Gulf has evaporated, I feel like there's quite a bit we could find out from there.
Maybe. I mean, I've always wondered, what would it be like to take a stroll along the Gulf?
Well, we could solve Carnegie Mellon's housing crisis by just moving people into the Gulf.
But my issue then is, how will we flood it?
Well, here's the best part. If the water evaporated, we can just unevaporate it.
And then all of a sudden, we have our first underwater dormitories.
It is impossible to set that one on fire.
That is true. And you know what is added to that? You don't need a Brita filter.
You don't need a Brita filter. You don't need fire alarms anymore.
You don't even need sprinklers.
You don't need anything. It's amazing.
You can just cut off all water to the building.
I don't know why we haven't come up with this idea yet.
I think we need to propose this in the next town hall.
I'm going to go to our God Emperor, God Long May He Reign, and ask him for his opinion.
I think this is amazing. You should do this.
I should.
I've never been more proud of you, mostly because I've never been proud of you. But this is the first time. Good job.
You know what? I didn't need to hear that because I am actually very secure about my own happiness.
Can I change that?
No.
Tragic.
Anyway, besides that, we should talk about top things you can do for Valentine's Day. What are you planning on doing besides crying?
Well, I mean, besides obviously sitting in a ball in my room and crying, one of the things I plan on doing is going around looking at couples who are happy and thinking, wow, I really wish that was me right now.
You really wish that you were the happy couples?
Yes.
Both sides or just one?
Well, if you think about it this way, both sides, are they happier together or is it happier individually?
Well, would you like to be a couple on your own? Like you are self-sufficient? Coupling with yourself.
Like to be self-sufficient in that way. I would love nothing more than that.
So you don't want another person in your couple. You just want to be yourself.
I mean, I'd love me more than enough.
Then why aren't you happy?
That's a wonderful question and one which I will ask my therapist when I see him next time.
Oh, you're going to therapy again?
Only because the state made me.
Which state?
The one we're in, obviously. Kentucky.
I'm so glad we can broadcast this here from Kentucky. Well, next time you see your therapist, number one, tell them I say hi.
Why do you know my therapist?
Well, your therapist and I were good friends. We went to college back in the 80s.
I thought you never graduated.
I didn't, but we did go.
I see. And they graduated, correct?
Well, yes.
Okay, I just want to make sure because they have been really hesitant to show me their license. Where did you go to university as well?
Well, I went to university in a place called Greenville, Massachusetts.
This explains why they're hesitant to show me their license.
There isn't actually that many people in Greenville, Massachusetts. My entire college graduating class was 6 people. It should have been 7, but unfortunately I got caught up in that dog-catching incident of 1931.
Oh, of course. Who can forget the dog-catching incident?
You weren't there.
Well, I've heard about it. Half the city heard about it. Half the country heard about your dog-catching incident.
Really?
Why do you think you are here right now speaking?
Well, I assumed I just walked in and they gave me a spot.
How do you think you got to campus?
I walked.
How do you think you got to the city?
I took a plane.
That's not true at all.
That is very true.
No.
No?
No, it isn't true. Think about it this way. Okay. Everything you've done in your life has brought you directly to this spot right here.
And I regret so many of them.
I'm sure you do. Frankly, I regret most of them as well. Starting at the beginning.
All the way from the beginning?
Yes.
You think my entire life was predestined that I would come here to WRCT Pittsburgh and tell you about my life?
I do believe so. If you really think about it, isn't that just how majestic life is?
No.
No?
No. This isn't the Animal Planet.
Well, I mean, you know, therapy's really been helping me with those sort of things.
Animal Planet?
Yes. Do you not watch Animal Planet during your therapy?
Not especially. I prefer David Attenborough be as far away from my mental health as possible.
Oh, I want him in my head at all times.
Do you feel soothed when you hear David Attenborough's voice?
I often fall asleep to David Attenborough's voice.
Would you prefer he narrate your life?
Well, I do worry that he might be speaking too much.
Here we can see John in his natural habitat. He's speaking into a microphone, hoping that the crowd doesn't hear him.
Well, when you say it like that, you've read right into my soul.
He's continued speaking.
But you don't sound like David Attenborough.
I believe this is some kind of mating call of his species.
Definitely not.
I never did graduate with my biology degree.
I can tell. Are you sure you were pursuing a biology degree? Because the last time we were chatting, you said you were deeply interested in anthropology.
Aren't those the same thing?
They're probably close enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, when you say it like that. Anyways, what are some of your things to do on Valentine's Day?
Well, as you know, I have so many things to do on Valentine's Day.
Not at all. You have nothing to
actually,
do.
Actually, I do.
Name two things.
I'll name three things. Please. In fact, the IEEE. That's just one thing, but it's got three E, so I think it counts.
I wouldn't know the first thing about what an IEEE is. IEEE?
Yes, the IEEE, which I don't actually know what it stands for, but they put up posters saying that they're there doing an event.
Right, what event?
Oh, it's the Institute for Electricians and Electrical Engineers.
I see. Are you an electrical engineer?
No.
So why are you going to this event?
Well, they had posters up. Do you have any plan? Don't have any plans on Valentine's Day? Come to the IEEE event.
Well, maybe I should go to... I do have plans. I need to go cry.
Well, yes. I had one of those. I was planning on going to that, but then I realized I could do so much better.
And what is better for you on Valentine's Day?
I could leave the country.
Well, when you say it like that, that sounds wonderful.
I don't think they celebrate Valentine's Day in Canada. I think it's a different date. So if I just keep moving around, I can avoid it forever.
I see. And is this because you fear the loneliness in your life that's been permeating since you were born?
No, I just don't like buying flowers.
That's very understandable. What is your favorite flower?
Tell me about it.
Come on.
You caught me there. It's a tulip. I specifically like its dark and troubled past when it comes to the Atlantic trade.
Well, when you say it like that, maybe tulips might be my favorite as well.
Tulips are such an interesting flower. Did you know that you used to be able to buy a house with a tulip?
Really? What type of a house?
Any house.
Any house with
a
tulip?
Any house you wanted.
Did the tulip have to be a specific color?
Nope.
Just any tulip?
Yeah. Back in my day, I managed to buy many houses with tulips.
Where?
Mostly in Europe.
I see. Is this still happening?
Well, I tried recently. I walked up to my local real estate agent, and her name's Marcy. I said, Marcy. I said her name a lot just to make sure I remembered it. I said, I have a tulip for you. Do you want to have this tulip? And she said, yes. And then I said, can I have a house? And she said, no.
I see. So it might not work anymore.
Well, I don't talk to Marcy anymore.
Have you tried roses?
I will. You know what? I've got to call Marcy up right now.
Because I have heard that they're having amazing deals on roses, specifically for people who don't have dates.
Hello, Marcy? What if I got you a rose? Oh, she hung up.
Did she hear you say the rose part?
I think she did.
Do you think she might be interested in it?
I think she might have been kidnapped.
Really?
I think that's what happened right now.
Do you think it's the Rose Gang?
I think it might be the Rose Gang.
The Rose Gang.
You know those lights that were flashing over my dorm way back in the beginning of the show?
Of course, with the screams.
Yeah, that was probably the Rose Gang as well.
That makes so much sense.
I don't think she hung up on me. I think they hung up on me so I couldn't tell her about the roses anymore.
This makes so much sense, and this explains exactly what happened to the person I asked on a date last year. The Rose Gang got to them.
Really? What happened to your date last year?
Well, I went up to a friend of mine, and I asked them on a date, and all of a sudden, I just never saw them again. That's all.
That makes it sound like you were the prime suspect in their disappearance.
Well, I mean, I was fully cleared of everything but their disappearance.
Fully cleared of everything but their disappearance?
Well, if you say it very fast, yes.
Okay, hold on, let me try that. Fully cleared of everything but their disappearance. No, I don't think that feels very fast at all.
Do you want to say it faster?
No, I do not.
Okay, well, I have been cleared for everything except for their disappearance.
So did you do it?
Did I do what?
Did you make them disappear?
Well, I've been cleared for everything besides...
But did you make them disappear?
Maybe.
Okay, you're a terrible liar.
No.
I see. Well, I think if you had a reputation of not making people disappear, more people would want to go out with you, John.
Well, when you say like that, that might be true. Have you never made someone disappear before? Asking for a friend.
I have never worked for anyone with that kind of capability. I did work for a magician at some point.
Oh, wow. But they weren't able to do the disappearing
trick. Well, they only made them reappear afterwards.
Well, I mean, who said I didn't do that?
Did you?
No.
Then you said you didn't do that.
That's true, actually. I did
Straight
that.
From the horse's mouth.
I'm not a horse. How dare you?
Straight from the donkey's mouth.
Close enough.
Straight from the mule's mouth?
You're getting there. Slightly warmer.
Straight from... I'm really running out of animals here.
There's quite a few more.
Straight from the pony's mouth.
I think you're just talking about animals that look like horses.
Straight from the zebra's mouth.
You're still going on about the same thing.
Straight out of the llama's mouth.
There we go. You've gotten me. I am indeed a llama. John McKinsley, first ever llama radio host.
It took me a second. First ever.
Maybe second.
I feel like you're taking a lot of credit for something that you didn't deserve.
Being a llama?
Yes. No, being the first ever llama radio host.
Well, who was the llama radio host before me?
Well, see, back in 83, Jeremiah Cornelius and Cornelius Jeremiah found a llama they affectionately called Annabeth, who was the first radio host to ever talk about horse racing.
Wow, and all they did was this llama would just talk about horse racing.
This llama had, I think, the worst betting track record of any horse racing bettor off the 20th century.
Well, I'd then like to make a little addendum. I think I'm the first ever interesting llama on radio.
Are you telling me that Annabeth wasn't interesting?
You're absolutely correct.
Are you really dismissing the people who came before? You stand on the shoulders of giant llamas.
That's true. And you know what? I am still above them on their shoulders.
Humility is lost on this generation.
Why have humility when I can just be happy?
Are you?
Not at all. But I don't have humility either, so I need to find something.
I feel like you should pick one or the other.
Can I choose? I've been trying.
Well, you've been trying to choose happiness over humility, but you're sort of not getting the happiness, so maybe you should try the humility.
That doesn't sound like my style.
It doesn't, but you could have a new style. It is, in fact, Valentine's Day. You're supposed
That's
to try
true.
Out new
I
styles.
I could spruce myself up.
You could.
That's true.
You might even be a bearable person.
Well, when you say it like that, maybe I'll try being humorous? Humorous? What could be that
Humble.
You've got me there. Thank you so much. Maybe I will try being humble this
I hate
Valentine's
that we
Day.
Both couldn't figure out the word humble.
You know, sometimes your brain works and sometimes you can't think of the word humble.
Well, no, that's just a lot. That doesn't happen very often for me.
Really? This is the seventh time this has happened to me in the past 2 days.
Oh.
I use the word humble a lot in reference to what I'm not.
You often walk around and say, I'm not humble. That is not a word you could use to describe me.
Well, it's usually I'm not, and then I try to think of the word figure out humble.
Okay, well, have you considered writing it down on your hand?
I have, but the problem is I don't have a pen. I just ran out of ink the other day.
I have a pen right over there.
Well, please, write humble on my hand.
Okay, 1 second. Anybody in the audience will have to wait for me to do this.
I see. I absolutely love doing visual gags on radio.
Just imagine that I am writing on his hand the word humble.
Of course. Okay. This is awful. That's blue ink.
For any listeners, that is not the hand. That is the forearm.
Well, you've got me again. You tricked me.
I never learned anatomy, okay? Or biology or anthropology. Look, I'm on the radio. Do you think I know what I'm talking about?
Definitely not. That's why you talk so much.
Exactly.
If we knew what we were talking about, well, we wouldn't have a word to say.
Well, if I knew what I was talking about, I'd be doing something important in my life.
That's true. And right now, you're doing something truly important. Being with me in a room, locked in at the moment.
Am I locked in? Producers? Yeah. Producers, am I locked in?
Just don't try the door. Don't look towards... No, you're here. You're staying here. We have 2 more hours
of
this
show. Are we still alive? We have 2 more hours of this show?
2 more hours of the show.
Oh, God. I'm hyperventilating.
Can someone open it? We don't have the windows yet.
We don't have the windows yet.
Can someone open the roof? Raise the roof? No.
The roof's right there. Still there.
Still there? Okay, that's tragic. Well, anyways, you're going to have to deal with your
Well, I'll figure it out. I'll figure it out. Anyway. So, John...
McKinsley. Very insulted. We've done this twice already, and you can't remember my name already.
Your name isn't very interesting.
That's very sad.
You don't
sad.
Look like a John or a McKinsley, and you honestly look like lesser... You look like... You know how something is lesser than the sum of its parts?
What would you say the parts of me that are being similar?
Well, there's John.
Okay.
And there's McKinsley.
Okay.
And you are somehow worse than both of them.
Well, but I am John McKinsley.
Yes.
You're
And you are a poor excuse for a person, because you're a llama.
Well, that's a very kind compliment of you.
Don't worry about it.
One day I will truly be able to accept that in my heart that I am nothing but a llama.
No, don't say nothing but. You are a very excellent llama.
This is possibly the sweetest thing you've said to me on air before.
At some point I did tell you you didn't make me vomit when I looked at you.
I think this might be even better.
Well,
you've just told me
that
I'm not just a llama.
That's a good point.
Unfortunately,
dramatic pauses don't work when you have to talk every 5 seconds.
Oh, God, I forgot about that. We have to talk every 5 seconds.
The audience would be appreciated if you could have a dramatic pause for me.
Oh, hold on 1 second.
Audience, imagine there's no silence. There's no talking.
Yep, just a dramatic pause. I am speaking at the moment, but there's nothing. It's just
silence. Ignore what we're saying.
Ignore what we're saying, because we are not funny.
All right, my dramatic pause is over. I've stopped looking off in the middle distance. Now I'm looking back at you.
Oh, God, you're staring at me. This
I'm no longer staring at you.
Oh, thank God. Okay. But anyways, I think one last thing is that I wanted to go back to those ruby gemstones.
Let's talk about those ruby gemstones before we close.
Yeah, because I recently found one in my pocket.
Really?
Yes. Well, by recently, I mean about 5 minutes ago, I reached into my pocket and boom, there was a ruby gemstone there.
That's amazing.
It was. And the biggest problem is that now my pants are made out of gold.
That is deeply uncomfortable.
It is. It's surprisingly heavy.
Are you going to be able to stand up again?
I don't know. I really hope so, because I do have to leave sometime soon.
I think, in fact, we have to leave in a few minutes.
I think we have to leave right about now.
Well, I'd like to get out of here. I hope I never see you again. Goodbye.
I hope I never see you again as
and
well.
And to all of you Goodbye. Out there, stay safe.
Stay safe. Whoa. Oh, mercy, mercy me. They used to be now. Where did all the blue skies go? Poison is the wind that blows from the north and south and east. Oh, mercy, mercy me. All things and what they used to be now. Oil wasted on the oceans and upon our seas. Fish full of mercury. Oh, oh, mercy, mercy me. Praising what they used to be. Lost, raised.
underground and in the sky. Animals and birds who live nearby are nice. Oh, mercy, mercy me. All things and what they used to be. What about this overcrowded land? How much more we use from man? Can't you stand?
Something Blue, the show where we play something old, something new, and something borrowed on Something Blue. This week we're listening to Something Americana, so we're starting off with Ventura Highway by America and George Martin. Enjoy. Was America and George Martin with Ventura Highway. If you like this show, here's some other WRCT shows that you might enjoy. Audible Sounds, looking to expand your horizons, in the mood for something obscure, weird? Tune into Audible Sounds Mondays at 12 p.m. for all the latest experimental music from around the world and discover the strangest genre that you didn't know you love.
Operator.
Also, the Indy 500. Listeners, start your engines. Hear high-octane showdown between indie labels and the big four majors everywhere, every Thursday at 1 p.m. Just tune into the Indy 500 with your host, Distracted Driver, and Speed Racer.
Gosh, you said you knew well and sometimes hated.